The Connecticut River springs to life in Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, just a few hundred yards from the Canadian border. From there, it sneaks 400 miles southward to the Long Island Sound. It's the longest river in New England. This month, a group of river lovers are paddling the length of the Connecticut to highlight its importance and beauty. NHPR's Todd Bookman went to find them on the water.
Despite all of our pledge drives, NHPR still doesn't have its own boat. And so...
Steve, you got room for one more?
There was your reporter, stranded on the shores of the Orfordtown boat launch.
Public radio?
For public radio? Yes, the last seat on board the boat. And not just any boat.
Two, one, two, three, and...
For the next 2 hours, the Limetown Band in their royal blue polo shirts would be floating down the river on a pontoon. They played songs for the dozen or so kayakers making this leg of the trip. Bands, kayaks, bright sunshine, and a slight ripple on the water. This low-key event is just one leg of the Source to Sea Jump-In Journey, a two-week expedition organized by the Connecticut River Conservancy.
There we go. I haven't done an interview like this before, on water.
About halfway through the band's set, Andrew Fisk, the group's executive director, paddled over in his kayak, grabbing hold of the boat's railings.
And how would you rate the health of the river in this section?
The river is really clean. Our next job is to make the river full of life. So right now we got a lot of life on the river with hands and feet, but we want to be able to get more life in the river that's got fins and flippers and claws and pinchers.
This section of the Connecticut is certainly much healthier than it was in 1959. That's the last time the Conservancy attempted one of these 400-mile advocacy events. It's the inspiration, actually, for the current voyage. There's footage of that 1959 trip posted on YouTube.
Greetings, my friend. My name is Davidson, Dr. Joseph G. Davidson of Equinox Mountain in Manchester, Vermont. My business is industry and chemistry.
Industry and chemistry, but Davidson was also president of the Connecticut River's advocacy group. The river then was a dumping ground for raw sewage and industrial pollution. Rusted cars lined its shores. Davidson, perhaps to prove a point, wears a gas mask in some stretches.
This trip on the Connecticut from the source to the sea opened our eyes to the treasure of the valley and some of the ways it is being destroyed through man's carelessness and lack of concern for the future of his own kind.
During the past 60 years, man has tried to reverse his carelessness. Advocates say the Clean Water Act, as well as a bipartisan tradition of conservation in New England, have made a huge impact on the river's health. Dave Hewitt is on the Conservancy's Board of Trustees.
In mid-1950s, they called it the most beautiful sewer in America. And now it's Class B. You can swim in it, you can boat in it, you can eat the fish that you catch in it. It's amazing.
The Connecticut River, for all its improvement, still does have its challenges. Fish populations are low, nitrogen levels are too high, and hydroelectric dams are causing erosion in some sections. But as the band boat pulled up to shore in the town of Lyme, and a dozen kayakers uncoiled to enjoy cookies and iced tea, Andrew Fisk was hopeful about the river's future.
We should be incredibly proud of the fact that this river is so much cleaner and so much healthier because we have invested thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours and hundreds of millions of dollars to make it a better river. But we're not done.
The journey isn't done yet either. The group is on their way to the Long Island Sound this weekend. But before getting back into their kayaks, one quick swim in the river they love. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.